This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy the podcast.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. We are essentially doing an autopsy of Joe Biden's speech from yesterday, a press conference. It was very long. It was over an hour. I think a lot of people were surprised by that. And there were a few moments that Joe got very testy. One of them was when he was asked about his speech where he compared everyone who disagrees with abolishing the filibuster to Bull Connor or to George Wallace. He got very angry about that. But another moment that hasn't gotten as much play because he gave a non-answer answer was when he was asked about China and Hunter Biden. And that reporter was Stephen Nelson. I want to play this for the audience. Let's just hear Joe's response to why he hasn't pushed for more accountability from China.
The answer is that I did raise the question of transparency. I spent a lot of time with him. And the fact is that they're just not being transparent.
Not a lot of information there. Stephen Nelson from the New York Post joins us now. Stephen, thanks so much for coming on the show.
It's great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
What did you think of his answer to that? Were you expecting more, or do you think the fact that you were the only reporter that I could see in the room to bring up Hunter Biden kind of put Joe Biden back on his heels a bit?
You know, I frankly was pretty surprised by President Biden's answer there. My question was specifically about why he had not raised the issue of pushing for coronavirus origins transparency with the Chinese president during a 3.5-hour virtual summit in November. That was my question, and it was that and whether that had anything to do with the fact that his son is involved with an investment firm in China that's controlled by Chinese state-owned entities. President Biden just totally sidestepped the question about his son's investment before rebutting the impression that Jen Psaki had given all of us that he had not brought up the topic of origins and transparency. So I was very surprised to hear him say that he did bring that up with President Xi. And, you know, I had to follow up, and, I spent all my time basically following up on that and confirming that, according to him anyhow, he did press the Chinese president for transparency on the origins of the coronavirus. And then I asked him, you know, why is it that your press staff was unaware of this? They omitted it from a readout of the 3.5-hour virtual summit. They had not corrected the reporter's impressions of press briefings that he had not raised the matter with the Chinese president. So I followed up, and he said that, the press staff, they just weren't aware of it because they weren't in the room when I was pushing for coronavirus transparency. It was a very surprising answer because it basically contradicted what Jen Psaki had led us all to believe. And it was also interesting because President Biden has said virtually nothing on the topic since becoming president, aside from a written statement attributed to him in August when the U.S. intelligence agencies assessed that it was plausible that the virus leaked from the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
Now, Stephen, on this same note of contradicting information, there has been a lot of clarification this morning and even yesterday right after this press conference from Jen Psaki, from Kamala Harris on a number of different answers from Joe Biden. I want to start with this idea from Joe that he really was kind of weaving into the press conference yesterday that the elections could be illegitimate. Now Jen Psaki's coming out and saying that's not what he was implying. What sense did you get that he was trying to set up for 2022?
Sure. So we have those. The two big takeaways from the press briefing basically are him suggesting that there may not be legitimate elections in 2022, and also suggesting that if Russia invades Ukraine, the penalties for doing so might be less if it was a more limited incursion. So regarding the 2022 election, of course, if he's saying that it may be illegitimate because of laws passed Republican-led states, that really undercuts the attack that has been leveled on Republicans who questioned the 2020 results.
Right.
So you see the White House trying So you see the White House trying to clean that up, because obviously that that runs contrary to their major point throughout this year, that the Republicans, you know, in their argument, are being irresponsible and casting doubt on the validity of elections and, by extension, undermining American faith in democracy.
Now let's talk a little bit about what he said in regards to Russia and the Ukraine. You mentioned that there has also been follow-up on this. The White House is trying their best to clean it up. They actually sent Kamala Harris out, of all people, to try to clean up this mess. Kind of unsuccessful, as many people probably could have guessed. But why would he open the door to that? And what do you think that does as far as foreign policy goes?
Well, you know, as you mentioned, it was a very long press briefing. President Biden typically, you know, for us White House reporters, we ask him a question on the lawn or after a speech, and he gives maybe a five-word answer and walks to the helicopter. Yesterday, it was almost 2 hours, this press conference. It lasted longer than any hosted by President Trump or President Obama. And when Joe Biden talks at length, you know, historically, gaps emerge. It's happened throughout his career, and his remark on there being a more minor invasion of Ukraine and that resulting in a different policy, the point he seemed to be making was that NATO allies are in disagreement on the precise sanctions that would be leveled against Russia. But of course, you hear this distinction between, you know, the response may be less if it's a minor incursion versus an entire takeover of the country. And that seems to really move the goalpost in such a way that, you know, Ukrainian officials say they fear that it sets a green light for Russia to attack the country and actually destabilizes the situation more so than deter Russia. So you've seen this cleanup effort. President Biden also just spoke with reporters about this, saying that there is going to be severe economic penalties if Russia does invade. But the damage seems to be done here. And Ukrainian officials, there was one quoted by CNN yesterday who was saying that President Putin of Russia can sense weakness, and they fear that this is a green light for him to invade Ukraine.
Yeah, and there was definitely a lot of weakness. He was actually even asked about it, which I know you saw, about his mental fitness, and he said he had no idea why. Stephen, there seemed to be a lot of people that Joe Biden was willing to blame for the mistakes thus far in his presidency, including Trump at one point, Republicans being obstructionists. He mentioned Mitch McConnell a few times. But on the issues that I thought he might actually take a little bit of accountability for, including Afghanistan and the testing fiasco, he didn't seem to even go near the idea that maybe he could have changed things. Did you get that sense that he was not willing to concede that there had been really any mistakes thus far in his presidency? In fact, at one point he said he thought he had done a remarkable job and actually overperformed. What are your thoughts on that?
Right. Well, certainly on Afghanistan, he said that he makes no apologies for his actions there, which, of course, led to the fairly chaotic U.S. pullout in August. On testing, he did more vaguely express regret for not pumping out tests more quickly, but, you know, it wasn't really a fleshed out idea. It was interesting to hear him blame Republicans for his agenda being blocked currently, mostly because his giant more than $2 trillion Build Back Better Act, which has hundreds of billions for social programs and environmental spending, that's not being blocked because of Republicans, really. It's because of one centrist Democrat in the Senate, Joe Manchin, who put his foot down in December and said that he wasn't going to go along with a budget reconciliation process, which would have allowed Democrats on their own to pass the legislation through the evenly divided Senate. Also, his other major legislative priority recently was the federal election reform bill. That also was not truly blocked because of Republicans, but more so because of two centrist Democrats who yesterday voted against changing Senate rules to allow it to proceed. So it was interesting to hear him put a lot of the blame on Mitch McConnell and Republicans in Congress when, in fact, you know, his two big legislative priorities that recently were blocked because of centrist Democrats.
I'm speaking with Stephen Nelson from The New York Post. Stephen, there were so many awkward moments to choose from, including when a reporter asked him about his mental fitness and he just completely rebuffed the question. He really didn't answer your question fully either. But one of the moments that I thought was the strangest tangent was when he started, and if you just indulge me, I want to play this cut for you, Stephen, and just have you react. He started talking about cable news programs and ratings, and it got very strange. This is cut 22.
And one of the things I find fascinating that's happening, and you all are dealing with it every day, and it will impact on how things move, is that a lot of the speculation in the polling data shows that the cables are heading south. They're losing viewership. No? Well, Fox is okay for a while, but it's not gaining. And a lot of the rest are predicted to be not very much in the mix in the next 4 to 5 years. I don't know if that's true or not.
Stephen, what do you make of that?
That came toward the end, and my ears perked as well when I heard that. Of course, cable ratings and news, online news, is also declining in readership and viewership this year. But a lot of people are blaming it on the fact that President Biden is, less interesting than former President Trump, who frequently would fire people on Twitter or make very abrupt policy announcements that drove a lot of attention. So it was certainly interesting to hear that from him, and just to kind of set the scene in the room, this was very close toward the end of the nearly two-hour press conference. The press staff clearly were ready for him to wrap at about an hour when he had finished his list of pre-approved reporters. Jen Psaki, who was sitting behind me, and other press staff, they stood up from their chairs after an hour, seemed to be signaling to the president they're ready to go. 20 minutes later, they walked across the room to a door, again signaling, it seemed, that they were ready to go. But President Biden kept on going, and we get these interesting verbal nuggets out of him. It was interesting to hear him say that Fox was more resilient to the ratings drop this year than the other networks. I was a little bit interested to hear that, but it also is just kind of a strange assessment of the current political landscape by the president. And part of the reason it's interesting is because we just don't hear him talk at length about these things very often. Former President Trump, would pontificate on the state of the news frequently. But with President Biden, this is much more rare.
And what you're describing, as he kept going, even though these people were clearly giving him the high sign to get out of there, it seems like he was almost defiant and he wanted to stay at the podium. One other thing I wanted to mention, Stephen, because we're talking about this cable news thing, it's kind of a theme I've noticed with Joe Biden. And you're right, we don't hear from him as much as we did about with Trump. But every once in a while, he gives the impression that he feels like the mainstream media is not fair to him. And I always call it like the B-roll Joe Biden when he accuses the mainstream media of using B-roll of empty shelves. And he mentioned this yesterday when someone asked him about school closings. He said the way, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he basically said the way the news portrays it is that there's all these schools closing. Do you get the sense that he thinks he's the victim in all of this? Like, you guys could all be a little bit nicer to Joe?
Well, that's an interesting question. Certainly there were pretty pointed questions from a lot of people all across the media spectrum. Kristen Welker of NBC did, a tough questioning of him yesterday, as did many others. But the one thing that was interesting is that the messaging we heard from President Biden is different than the messaging that we hear from, Jen Psaki, usually regarding that pointed criticism. Perhaps it's more effective, to push back aggressively. Perhaps that is a way that he lets his point be known. It's certainly a different packaging than we're used to. A lot of the older reporters around the White House who covered President Biden when he was a senator for 36 years, they say that they think that the current White House press staff are being overprotective of him, and that the reason that we don't hear more from him directly is that they're terrified of what he may say. But, frankly, candid moments like that, I'm not sure they're altogether bad for him. Certainly the reporters in the room who are taking the criticism from him, some of them may respond to it and take that into account when they're covering news stories. It was certainly an interesting thing, and I think it was a little bit different than what we typically hear from the White House.
Stephen Nelson, you do a fabulous job. Keep up the good work. And where can people follow you on Twitter if they want to see clips of you asking Joe Biden questions and, follow you on the New York Post?
Sure. I'm on Twitter at StephenNelson10, and thank you so much for having me.
We hope to have you on again soon. Stephen is right there next to Joe Biden all the time getting in these questions. And when he mentioned Hunter Biden, my jaw dropped. I mean, I hadn't heard Biden get a question on Hunter in quite some time. So hats off to Stephen Nelson from the New York Post. No one likes to feel out of the loop. That's how I felt in the office when Jared and Taylor would talk about their investment apps, their cryptocurrency, all these cool things. They were growing their wealth and I couldn't get involved. I wanted to grow my wealth as well, but I really couldn't wrap my head around a lot of these fads. They kind of freaked me out. I was like, I don't know if I really want to invest in, you know, crypto. I don't really know what it is. And so that's when I heard about Goldco, and I decided that I was going to turn to the leading precious metals company in the U.S. and five-time Inc. 500 winning company with an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, plus thousands of positive reviews. I could trust the team at Goldco to help protect and grow my wealth, and that's what I wanted. I wanted something I could trust, something I could count on. If you go to goldco.com/grace to request your free Protecting Your Wealth kit, you'll uncover the secrets that your financial advisor won't tell you. And if you visit goldco.com/grace now, Goldco will give you up to 10% in free silver when you open a qualifying account. That's right, up to 10% in free silver. I've already invested in gold and silver with Goldco because I know what I'm getting and I know I'm in good hands. If you want to protect and grow your wealth like I did, you can trust the experts at Goldco. Just go to goldco.com/grace. That's goldco.com/grace. We'll be right back with your calls, 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Mr. President, have you heard the Ukrainian president's comments?
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Let's go. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Let's go. Thank you.
All right, for people who are wondering about Biden's comments, where a lot of people are saying he gave Russia the green light to invade Ukraine, a minor incursion into Ukraine. We are going to get to that, but I'm bringing on an expert. You know, I'm bringing out the big guns. I'm bringing out Matt Boyle from Breitbart, and that will be in the 2 o'clock hour. So we will play. Right now I feel like I'm in high school again. I have all of these cuts highlighted, and I have an entire section on Putin, on Russia, on energy, on all of that. And we're going to save that for the Matt Boyle segment. But what to do right now? Well, first of all, we have to do the poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Fallens Bee Inn in beautiful North Sutton, New Hampshire. My favorite weekend retreat, no matter the season. That's FOLLANSBEE, the Fallens Bee Inn. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
You think Biden will hold another press conference this year?
Well, it's interesting because on the one hand, it was a disaster. But on the other hand, was it? You know, on the other hand, at least we know where he is and that he's answering questions. And there is something to be said for that. I have to agree with Stephen Nelson. There's something to be said for letting someone talk. Do they run the risk that he's going to say something really crazy and start World War III? Yeah. But this is who we elected. So at the very least, we deserve to hear from him and not from Jen Psaki. I would prefer to hear the craziest crap coming out of Joe Biden's mouth than the watered down, politically correct, Orwellian responses from Jen Psaki. I didn't elect Jen Psaki. I also didn't elect Joe Biden. But hey, he's the president, according to CNN and Fox and NBC. So I would like to hear more directly from Joe Biden. But that wasn't the question, was it?
No.
The question is, will he do another one? For that reason, for the reason that today the entire White House staff has to come out and do damage control, Ron Klain's fingers are tired from the retweets. He's sitting there like, oh boy, I've got a lot of fixing to do today. Thanks a lot, Joe. I'm going to say no, we will not be hearing from Joe again. This is probably his last press conference.
72% of the audience believes no.
But how interesting, though, and I'm really glad we got Stephen Nelson on because I would like to have him back. As Howie pointed out, you know, we can't leave all the one-horse pony tricks to Peter Doocy. There's got to be other people in there, and he's one of them. But it's interesting that he said they were all signaling for him to finish up, standing up, walking to the door. And I'm going to use that word again. He was defiant. He must be feeling like, if we're going down, I'm standing up before. I'm saying my two cents. I love it. All right, Woke or Joke coming up next. Get on the lines to win the Viva Trattoria gift card. It's 844-500-4242. I want full lines for Woke or Joke.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You know what time it is. Yes, we've had a lot of Joe Biden to get to, and yes, we will continue with that as the show goes on. We will have Matt Boyle on from Breitbart to discuss...
Get ready, pal!
To discuss this disaster that Joe Biden has gotten himself into by opening his mouth. You know, he's gaffe prone, and now he has to come out again today. They had Kamala clarifying what he meant about the Ukraine and Russia. They had Jen Psaki clarifying, and then Joe Biden came out himself and said, I've made it very clear. Just FYI, if you give a press conference and then you have to have three or four people come out and clarify what you meant, you're not making anything clear, okay? If anything, I would say it's the exact opposite. But we will get to all of that. Right now, it is time for Woke or Joke, and it's brought to you by Aviva Trattoria. Aviva has all of your favorite Italian dishes like chicken parm and cannolis made with fresh local ingredients. Visit them today and rent them, Malden, Maynard, Marlborough, or Westford. If you win Woke or Joke, you stay on the line. We'll enter you to win a $50 gift card to Aviva Trattoria. If you're not sure how it works, let's play the theme music and then we'll explain.
Everything woke turns to shit, okay?
I started a joke.
Pink haired wokers.
The word woke means loser.
And the joke was on me. Oh, no.
This is how it works. Taylor Cormier, the Wizard of Woke, is going to read a headline, and you have to guess, is it woke, as in, yes, it's real, this is the real world that we're living in, everyone's gone insane, or is it a joke? Did Taylor make it up? Now, Taylor, are you on the line?
I'm here, Grace.
Taylor is in sunny Florida. How was Mar-a-Lago?
Oh, Mar-a-Lago was great.
Did you have so much fun?
Buffet. Oh, my God, I had a great time.
Did you get the dessert?
I did. I had an oatmeal cookie.
Oh, yum.
A piece of key lime tart, some of the best key lime I've ever had. That's one of my favorite desserts. And at Howie's insistence, you have to have a piece of Mrs. Trump's cake, Taylor. So I did. I had a piece of Mrs. Trump's cake, and it was very, very decadent.
Yes. Well, Howie always gives good advice when it comes to dessert. I would trust him. He's not like the others. All right, Taylor, are you ready to play Woke or Joke?
I'm ready.
Let's see if Taylor can still defeat the contestants when he's all the way in Florida.
I'm in away territory today.
We shall see. Let's start with Jim. You're first on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Jim?
All right, Taylor, let it rip.
All right, Jim, here's your headline. Shakespeare under fire, Ontario theater troupe to perform non-binary Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, absolutely, 100%.
What was your answer there, Jim?
It's woke, absolutely woke.
It's absolutely a joke.
Oh!
By the way, that was a joke. That's not true.
I mean, I'm sure it's been done before, but this headline is a joke.
I don't know if it has been done. I didn't fact check this one, but if somebody wants to, they're more than welcome to.
Romeo and Juliet's one of those stories that's just told over and over and over again. It's always modernized, you know.
Yeah, they did that back in the 90s. It was awful.
Yes, what was
that
called?
Have they done it recently?
10 Things I Hate About You?
No, it was called Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, with Leonardo DiCaprio, yes.
Things I Hate About You, I believe, was The Taming of the Shrew.
Yes, you are right. All right, let's go to... Okay, so Taylor... That's one for Taylor. Let's go to Barbara. You're next on Woke or Joke. Do you think you can beat the Wizard of Woke, Barbara?
I bet I can.
Okay, she's confident, Taylor. Go ahead.
All right, Barbara, here's your headline. Burlington Public Schools drop snow days in favor of climate days.
I'd say that's woke.
That's a joke. I got you, Barbara.
He's going
to
a
joke. That's not true.
I was going to say climate days. That sounds so sad. I used to love snow days when I was a kid. I would stick the spoon under the pillow and turn my pajamas inside out.
I read that one to Howie in the car on the way over here. He goes, oh, that's a really good one.
Oh, good. Oh, it had the Howie Carr stamp of approval.
Wait, we need to revisit that. You did what on the snow day?
Well, if you want there to be a snow day the next day, you're supposed to stick a spoon under your pillow and wear your pajamas inside out. And that's supposed to...
Yeah, that one went over my head, too.
It's like doing a rain dance. Like, it's good luck.
Oh, so you're culturally appropriating.
Maybe I was. I don't know. I was so little.
Voodoo weirdness that was going on down.
And not only that, you were whitewashing it because you took a utensil instead of a rainmaker or something like that.
And honestly, it didn't work that often. Like I remember
See,
being
now
so
you're
sad.
Trashing their culture and saying that it's just terrible and doesn't work.
I remember being so sad, like so ashamed as I would bring the spoon back downstairs and stick it back in the drawer. Not even give it a rinse over.
Proud Inuit tradition we don't know about?
I don't know what it was. I don't know why I did that. All right, let's go to Mike. You're next on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Mike?
I certainly am.
Okay.
All right, Mike, here's your headline. Star Wars series renames Boba Fett's starship Slave One.
I'm going to say that's a joke.
That's woke. They got rid of the name of Slave One.
Not a joke.
This was the bounty hunter's ship and is now called Fire Spray.
You know, woke or joke is tricky when it comes to the nerd stuff, because nerd stuff always sounds kind of woke. Do you know what I mean, though? It's like it always, like
yeah,
that headline
the
you
comic
read.
Comic book characters yep. are
yeah,
always
and it means
genders.
Nothing to me. Like all of those words you just said mean nothing to me, so I hear that and I'm like, well, that could make sense. I don't know what they're doing on Star Wars.
And you've seen Star Wars, right, Grace?
Never in my life.
Oh my God.
I have not seen Star Wars and I don't plan on it. I've never seen Lord of the Rings and I've never really seen the Harry Potter movies. Is that bad? Jared
no,
looks
that's,
so sad.
The Lord of the Rings, I've never been a Tolkien guy. I don't like Hobbits, fantasy, all that stuff, which is part of why I hate Fauci. But
jeez.
I gotta get one in a day.
Yes, he does. All right, let's go to Bob. You're next on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Bob?
I am, Taylor. I was 0-6 last year, but I'm 1-1 this year, so let's go.
Okay.
All right, keep the streak going. All right, Bob, here's your headline. Facebook shuts down page for anti-woke children's history books.
Oh, that's a joke.
I'm sorry. I just broke your streak there, Bob.
Oh,
that's woke.
Are you kidding me?
Not a joke.
So what are considered anti-woke history books? Like just regular history books?
These are children's books. They're kind of illustrated history books, you know, in children's style. You've probably seen the ads for them. They feature Ronald Reagan, Amy Coney Barrett.
Is this Bethany Mandel's
yes,
line of books?
Yes, this is Bethany Mandel's books, yes.
Yes, I did see that. Yeah, they look like they're pretty informative.
But because so many liberals flagged their page on Facebook, Facebook just arbitrarily took it down. They can't make money on Facebook now. They can't sell their stuff on Facebook.
Ugh, big tech at it again.
They look like really cool history books. I'm going to have to get some for Harrison.
Yeah, you should. All right, let's go to Sandy. You're next with Grace and Taylor and Jared on Woke or Joke.
All right,
let's go, Sandy.
Ooh, Sandy, yes. I'm undefeated today. Here we go.
You just jinxed yourself.
Quebec talk show celebrates young children saying we should call the police on the unvaccinated.
Oh, I'll say that's woke.
Damn it. That is woke. Yes.
Yes, I saw that.
Not a joke. Not a joke.
Good job, Sandy. Stay on the line. You'll be entered to win an Aviva Trattoria gift card. The only thing about that, Taylor, is I wish it weren't in French.
Yeah, it's in French.
Because it's so crazy, but I can't play it.
You just hear the kid saying, Je me la prouille, police. Yeah. And everybody says, oui, oui.
Maman, le police. Yeah. Yeah, but that is wild. I mean, they're trying to turn the kids against the parents.
Yeah,
Mother Nature doesn't measure par habitant.
Thank you, John Kerry. All right, let's go to Charlie. You're next on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Charlie?
Yes, I am.
Okay, that's what you think.
All right, Charlie. Here you go. Here's your headline. Grammy-nominated musician's music video critical of Joe Biden removed by YouTube.
That's a joke.
No, that's true. That's woke.
Wow, Taylor, you are good today.
Not a joke.
Florida has brought out the Wizard of Woke.
Maybe I should move here full time.
I know. Is this a artist we would know?
Probably not. His name is John Ondrasik. He's a Grammy-nominated singer. You know, there's a billion
John
categories.
John Ondrasik, he actually was the, if you remember the group Five for Fighting back in the early 2000s, he was their lead singer.
I do remember the name of that group.
He used to come on
our
show in L.A. all the time.
Yeah. The song is called Blood on My Hands, and the music video depicts a lot of the images of Taliban violence over through the withdrawal of Afghanistan. So, you know, a lot of bloodied pictures, some you know, bodies wrapped up. So it was flagged by YouTube and taken down for a short while. It's back up, and it does have an age restriction on it now.
Got it. All right. Yeah, the people at YouTube, they're always so busy over there. Ron, you're next on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Ron?
I'm ready. Yep, absolutely.
All right, Ron, here's your headline. Chicago Cafe offers discount to LGBTQ plus customers.
I'm going to say that's a joke.
That is a joke. Very good.
Very good, Ron.
By the way, that was a joke. That's not true.
Stay on the line. You're the enter to win and Aviva Treachery a gift card. All right, let's go to Steve. You're next on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Steve?
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right, Steve, here's your headline. GoFundMe for Alec Baldwin's legal defense fund raises over $300,000 in 12 hours.
That is woke.
Oh, I can't believe you fell for that one.
Oh, thank God.
That's a joke.
I was going to say that's $300,000
of not true.
Pure Trump-deranged money.
Oh, Grace would have opened her show with that today if that were true.
I didn't know, though, Taylor. I was like, did I miss that? Because I have been kind of swimming in this Joe Biden stuff. That would be insane. But everything about Alec Baldwin lately is insane. So I would have fallen for it.
People are giving him Splenda packets. They might as well open up a fund for him.
Consider
the source. The source is Taylor Cormier. Mike, you're next on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Mike?
Let's do this.
Okay, Mike, here's your headline. Man with kidney failure removed from transplant list because he is unvaccinated.
I would say that's woke.
That is woke, very sadly, yes.
Not a joke. Not a joke.
Oh my gosh, that is sick.
Newsmax actually broke this story, and the guy he had a recording of the call with his doctor, and he basically said, "I'd rather die of kidney failure. I just had COVID and I got over it. I'm not scared of it. Like, you have a 99.9997% chance to survive." The doctor said back to him reportedly, "That's all pretty inaccurate data, but it is obviously your choice. But it's not your choice if you want to be active on the list." How callous. How cruel.
Wow. Wow. All right, Taylor, we're running out of time here.
One more headline.
All right, you can give it to me. Go ahead.
All right. Los Angeles City Council considers restricting car washes to weekends to conserve water.
Woke.
That's a joke, Grace.
Really?
I got you. Yes.
Wow.
By the
hey,
way,
Taylor.
That was a joke. That's not true.
Did you see the story about M&Ms?
No.
There's a woke story because you're going to do Weekend Woke today. With Howie, right?
I believe so, yes.
All right, so what Taylor does is at 5:30 on Thursdays on Howie Carr's program, Howie Carr's my boss, his show's on after mine, they do Weekend Woke, and he kind of goes into a lot of these stories. There's a story about M&Ms that I'll send you, and maybe I'll talk about it in the next segment. I thought for sure you'd cover it, Taylor, but I'm kind of happy because now I have an excuse to read it.
Okay.
It's pretty wild. But Taylor, you did a great job today. You tricked a lot of people. I think Mrs. Trump's chocolate cake was just what you needed to come
that
into this Woker
my
joke.
My power food, yes.
And we thank you for coming on because I know you're busy in Florida. You got a lot going on down there, so we appreciate it.
All right, Grace. Have a great rest of the show.
You too. All right, guys. When we get back, we're going to talk about M&Ms, and we're going to talk a little bit about Joe Biden. He's come out now. I've never seen somebody have 2 hours to talk about whatever they want. They've got the bully pulpit for 2 hours, and then every person in their administration has to come out the next day and explain away the mess they've made. Oh, look what you've done. You've made a fool of everyone.
You remember when Donald Trump said Kim Jong-un was a tough cookie and he was about to start a nuclear war?
Yeah. No, I know.
What about this guy? He's trying to start a war.
But he's not trying to do anything. I mean, to try, you have to know what you're doing. I think he's just talking. And then the craziest part about the minor incursion, and we'll play all that. We'll set that up for Matt Boyle. The craziest part about that is that when a smart reporter, hearkened back to it later in the press conference and said, "Hey, I just want to go back to that comment you made about Russia being able to make a minor incursion into the Ukraine. It sounded like you were basically giving Putin the green light." I'm paraphrasing, but that was how she set up the question. And Joe was like, "Yeah, I guess it did kind of sound like that, didn't it?" And I'm sitting there, "What? We're kind of talking about big stuff here. We're not asking you what you want for lunch. You should probably be pretty careful in the way you choose your words when talking about the situation with Russia and the Ukraine. Just a thought, Joe." 844-500-4242. We will be right back with your calls and a lot more sound. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and For the Boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
All right. I'm going rapid fire here. One, I just Googled it. Spoon under the pillow. That is a snow day ritual. It doesn't always work, but it's something I did as a kid. And I was right about that. Number two, let's talk about Robert Reich. He is a Berkeley professor, I believe, former Secretary of Labor. He had a very interesting tweet yesterday where he said this. Or actually, let me check the date on this. It was actually today. It was at 1:19 a.m. So that's always a telling sign when you're tweeting close to 2 in the morning.
Bill Clinton's Secretary of Labor.
He wrote, "Tonight, Republican senators lined up to shake Kristen Sinema's hand. Democratic senators should have given her the back of theirs. The backs of theirs."
Boy, that escalated quickly.
Yikes. So all of the women supporting women are, of course, silent. Now, another story I wanted to read here really quickly in the same vein as Woker joke. Eminem is getting the woke treatment, not the rapper, the candies. Eminem characters to become more inclusive. As part of the new mission to increase the sense of belonging for 10 million people around the world by 2025, Mars said the Eminem characters would be receiving new looks. The green Eminem, previously seen in ads posing seductively and strutting her stuff in white go-go boots, will now sport a pair of sneakers. I think we all win when we see more women in leading roles, so I'm happy to take on the part of a supportive friend when they succeed, the green M&M said on the promotional site.
I'm pretty sure that's not real.
Another character, the brown M&M, described her motto as, "Not bossy, just the boss." I feel like we could do without this. Mars said in announcing the refresh that M&M's will have an updated tone of voice that is more inclusive, welcoming, and unifying, kind of like Joe Biden. Are the M&M's going to tell us that if we don't like them, we're all racist? Is one of the M&M's going to compare us all to George Wallace? Well,
are they bringing back the tan M&M?
You know, 2022, I feel like if you had asked someone 10 years ago what 2022 is going to be, they'd say flying cars. And it's like, no, the M&M's are just going to be a lot more inclusive. We'll be right back with Matt Boyle, and we'll take your calls on the Biden presser. A lot more to get to. Don't go anywhere.